Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of The Optimism Show. Today I'm really excited to have with me Adrien and Navneesh Prof, the OGs of Farcaster, especially Farcaster podcasting, on-chain media with GM Farcaster. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Chris. It's nice to see you. It's really nice to see you. We're excited to be here.
And I'm really excited for the conversation today, especially around like building an on-chain first media company, like talking a bit more about live streaming, as I know you guys have been doing live streaming for over 2 years now.
Coming up almost on 2 years. Yeah.
It's quite some time, like specializing in live streaming. And I know you're also working on some awesome stuff with like AI bots and mini apps as well, which I would love to touch on eventually. But before we get into like the details and everything, would love to hear what is going on with GM Farcaster. What is the journey you had so far? And why did you go on-chain first in the beginning?
Oh, great. A great question. And so we started 2 years ago. Adrien and I met in person. We knew each other on Farcaster a little bit first, and we met in person at the very first FarCon, which is a community created and run event for Farcaster. And we met there and sort of being in that room and watching what people were building. And I just got really excited. And I was like, wow, this is a place I want to be. Like, how did I even get so lucky to be in this room? And I'm like, okay, I want to build something. I want to do something on Farcaster. I'd done a lot of spaces. I had done some streaming with something called Poapathon. This is going way back to a little group that we used to do a weekly stream. So I had a little bit of experience from the front, like from the host part of it, but not from the back of it. And we said, hey, do you want to come talk about Farcaster? We'll do it a couple times a week. And we'll just do like 21 minutes was where we started. We're going to do 21 minutes of Farcaster news. It's the amount of time that takes the average American to drink a cup of coffee. So that was the reason for the 21. So we're like, have your coffee, talk about Farcaster, and we'll do that. It's obviously gotten a little bigger than that. So we started as a live stream on Unlonely, which was connected with Base at the time. So you could log in with Farcaster to Unlonely, so we could see exactly who was in the chat, and we could connect back with them on Farcaster, and it helped us create a little community. So that was really helpful. It was very small. You know, we'd have maybe, I think the first one we did, we had one or two people watching, and then it's grown.
Shout out Justin.
Shout out Justin on, and shout out Chris Co-Create. They were our first couple viewers. And then it just grew from there. And then we expanded and kind of went off chain. But the other thing we would do is at first we only put our episodes or recordings on Zora. So the first few episodes early on were only on Zora, and we only streamed on Unlonely, because we wanted to be on-chain first. We wanted that connection to the on-chain economy and the on-chain, just to kind of show off the ways in which blockchain could be used. And that was important to us. And then we realized that distribution rules everything around me. So we had to kind of expand beyond that. And also there were some, for our viewers, especially the loyal viewers, shout out Yes to Crypto, they are like, can you please do this on YouTube? Because it's just a better platform. It's been around longer. It just worked better. So we kind of just went, okay. So we started streaming to YouTube and Twitter. We still put everything on chain, but we also have it there. The recordings go on, you know, Spotify and all the podcast places, but we also put it on pods. So you can still collect it as an NFT. So we you know, we're still doing those on-chain pieces, but we've expanded a little bit out so that we could get a wider audience. But it's been quite a journey. It went from 21 to 29 to, we joke that it's still 29 minutes, but it's never, like, I don't think we've hit that in forever. We really just need a new tagline. But it's, and then we started inviting guests. That was the other iteration, like a couple months in, we had our first guests come on. And who was our first guest? Why am I blanking? Was it Rish? Who was our first guest?
It was Dan.
Dan was our
first
guest?
We had Dan before the holidays. And then I think Dan might have been our first guest. I'll have to go.
Now to go look. Now I'm curious. Fast warping.
I can't believe we don't know this. But early on, we decided, we created a Friday with friends.
Right. And that's when
and
Rish
we decided
came on.
We would bring in a Farcaster builder every Friday. And Rish was one. And Jack, J4CK, we had on early. We had Yasek early from DGen.
Linda, Bounty Caster, who's now with Farcaster. We had her pretty early talking about Bounty Caster. So we kind of expanded from us just talking to each other about what was happening on Farcaster to bringing on people to tell us what they were building on Farcaster. So when we started in September 2023. In October 2023 is when it went permissionless. Farcaster was invitation only up until that point. And they issued an OG token, like an NFT, to everybody who was there. There were 938 who received that NFT, who were active, daily active users.
That was it back then?
Yeah. So that's how tiny this audience was.
It wasn't daily. It was weekly active. You had to be active like within the past week, and it was still less than 1,000.
It was still less than 1,000. Yeah. So it was
Chris,
really
when
tiny.
Chris, when did you join Farcaster?
So now that you put out the dates, it's probably a year after Farcaster went permissionless, because I remember we started the podcast July 20th or something last year.
Okay.
And then we started publishing like September, more or less.
Okay.
So we actually started it then. But when I was in when I got in Farcaster, it was right after that, let's say, pump of new users that happened in the spring of 2024, if I'm
there
not
was
wrong.
Like late January, early February of 24.
Yeah.
24? Yeah. Time means nothing anymore because it really is like, I can't believe we've only been doing this for 2 years. Like everyone's like, oh my God. And I'm like, no, only? Like it feels a lot longer. But yeah, right in that time frame, February 2024 is when we had a big rush of folks from DGen and then Frames. Those two things caused a huge like burst of new folks jumping onto Farcaster and building. So yeah, it's been crazy ever since.
I'm curious because like you were the very early days of Farcaster there. You were podcasting back then. So now it seems like there's a lot more developments. I'm really curious to see like what are some of the developments that maybe were tried out there but didn't succeed that you were excited about?
Oh my
God. Also, what are some of the things that really helped you along the way of that on-chain first, building on-chain first media?
So I'd say like, okay, some of the things still exist. They just didn't take off as much as I think I thought they would. Like channels is one that comes to mind automatically. And I still love channels because channels feels like almost like this Reddit type of thing where you're seeing everybody talking about one particular topic and they still exist. They're still in the works. There's still people trying to get them to really pop off. And I still think there's a ton of value, but they didn't move the needle in the way I thought it would. There's a bunch of other things, but I don't even, what else? I mean,
well, I think there was also the pivot of like when we first joined, the core team was really trying to attract developers.
Right.
Because the idea is they're going to build a protocol for social media that anyone could build on. There should be a competition with lots of clients competing. So they were attracting developers who were going to try to build build apps and different clients on top, but developers want users. And there was always a little bit of a push and pull between trying to attract developers, but not having enough users. And over the year, the Merkle shifted their approach to saying, you know what, we're not going to attract developers who are going to build competing clients anymore. You can. I mean, it's open and you can, but that the most important thing to do is to grow the network because we need people. So they kind of went all in on building Warpcast, as it was called, as the best premier top client on top of the Farcaster protocol. A lot of the feedback they got was it was still confusing. Like, oh, you want to join Farcaster? Well, oh, download this app called Warpcast. What's Warpcast? How do I find Farcaster? What? Like, so they've rebranded their app to Farcaster. So from in the kind of the crypto decentralized world, this is like blasphemy. Like, oh, but their approach was like, yes, we're going to attract developers. People can build on it, but it's really important that like we are attracting users and growing the network because developers want distribution and you want to bring. So the approach kind of shifted towards we're going to try to attract developers through mini apps, which will be applications that can be hosted on top of Farcaster. And people can still build apps, as we saw the Base app just launched and Zapper's got a client. So it's still there. But I think to me, that's kind of from a vibe shift, I'd say, over the years. That's probably been one of the bigger shifts of kind of who the builders are on Farcaster.
How has that like impacted really GM Farcaster? I would assume because if you have like a very developer focused listener base in the beginning, since you were on chain first, then that gradually shifting towards really more broad audiences. I'm really curious, like how, like if you noticed any shifts throughout the years or in the growth or really how that impacted on-chain media in general.
I think the shift happened right after DeGen. There was a massive shift and it was just drove a whole different group of folks to have interest at all. And even that, it did pop off, but it wasn't as long lasting or as big as I thought it was going to be at that moment. But I think that drove some people to realize that, oh, there's something happening over there. There's some alpha to be found, if you will, to use like, you know, and that was attractive to some people, good and bad, but it definitely, you know, brought a different audience for sure. So it's not just developers, but we still have a lot of developers who watch the show regularly. I mean, and that's who we bring on as guests all the time. It's going to be people, I would say builders is probably a better term because they might be devs or they might be founders or they might be working with somebody. But I think that's been a shift for us. And I think the other thing has been the greater ease of, and I'm going to turn this over to Adrian, of being able to develop things on Farcaster for GM Farcaster. So that becoming easier with mini apps and the development of that and sort of how that's evolved. And I know we were going to talk about that a little later. So I don't know if you want to dive into that yet. But Adrian, what else would you say has like changed or like how has...
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have to, you just get used to things constantly changing. There was an early meme when the network was really small. So this was like pre-permissionless, you know, you have like a few hundred people. People were very active and very loud. And every time like a new feature would come out, everyone would complain and people were constantly complaining about the vibes changing. Like someone new comes in and it was a funny meme because it'd be like, the vibes have changed, the vibes have changed, the vibes have changed. There was nobody on the network. Like the vibes had not changed.
The vibes had not changed.
But then once it went to permissionless, anyone could join. DeGen attracted a whole new type of maybe a speculative mind. Not all. We had some good people come in too. But and then with Frames becoming mini apps brings new people. So it really has changed a lot. I think you just expect it to change a lot. For our show in particular, and particularly because we do a live stream, we have a really tight connection with our audience because people are responding in real time. They're putting comments in the chat as we're talking, we're feeding off of our audience. So we're doing it through the computer. I can't see their faces, but it does feel collaborative. So you start to get to know people. We don't necessarily know who they are or even where they are in the world, but I know their PFP and I know their name and I know their personality and they'll make jokes. And then they stop showing up.
Yeah.
And it's fine because guess what?
They get busy. Yeah.
We do a 3 times a week live stream morning show. So it's like, it's almost like your morning announcements. It's your Good Morning America style. Like it's a fun show, but we have regulars, but the crowd has actually changed over. And I think that's been not good, bad, hard, easy. It just is. But it's something
I think. It's interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah.
It's definitely interesting because we definitely see, that's happened multiple times where it's almost like cohorts of different people. And then they get to know each other in the chat too, which is very interesting as well. Like they get to know each other. They start to interact like, oh, I met you through GM Farcaster. Like it's interesting. It's fun to see that. Like I love it when that happens. And it's definitely being a more community. But when we like do an event or something at like ETH Denver, you see the new and the old kind of coming together. Like we have the people who are currently watching, but we also have people who maybe don't watch as regularly anymore because now they're busy. It doesn't fit into their schedule anymore. And they all still have like some common denominator of us and Farcasters. It's kind of, you're growing the audience, but in a kind of a weird way where they're sort of stacking on each other, like these little cohorts.
It sounds also like very organic, but One thing that I find really cool, even how you met in the beginning, how you met really online and then met in person. I bet like even on the events and whenever like these cohorts of viewers come in and they meet each other in the chat, like even facilitating one or two of those people meeting in person, it sounds amazing.
Because we've had that happen a few times. We've had some cool, like, so I'm thinking of JC and Poi Meets World. They met we did a poker game during I think they met in the anniversary poker game. So last year we did a 24-hour extravaganza where some of it was just recordings, but most of it was live. And we did a poker game and they met during that poker game. And then they met in person at East Denver last year. And now they work together because Poe started at Aptus and she was looking for somebody else to join her team. And she talked to JC and then now they work together. So there's like that one I love. I love that story. But there's also been like that moment we had Yes to Crypto meet up with Will Warren from Matcha. Yes to Crypto had been doing a meme a day trying to get Matcha to launch base limit orders and like daily doing a new meme every single day. He ended up doing it for 180 days. They met in person at our meetup at East Denver. And that was like such a moment. I was like, oh my God, they're meeting in person. And literally not long after that, they added limit orders. So it was like a whole thing that kind of played out. And we talked about it a lot on the show. And like Matcha was a sponsor for a little while. So there was all these kind of like weird like interactions that happened that were just really fun. And there's probably a whole bunch of other ones like that that I'm not even thinking of. But there's a lot of little like connections that get made and friendships that sort of develop from there, which is really fun.
It's awesome. Actually, those are like really exciting moments that kind of have been for a period of time on the internet, and then they seem to have disappeared. And now with Farcaster, it seems to like to have those conversations and those meetups happening again, which I find really fascinating, honestly.
I think it's the difference between social network and social media. And we always think of Farcaster as social network. And I think when you think back to like very early days of Facebook and even early days of Twitter, they were social networks where people were really connecting. And that changed and shifted to more social media where it's more about driving, you know, influencer attention. Like you don't think about connecting too much on like something like Instagram, although it happens. But it's like more of a push. It's more of a push rather than a pull and connect and respond and actually get to know people. So I think Farcaster kind of brings us back to like those MySpace early Facebook days where you're actually connecting with people. And there's a ton of people who have built things on Farcaster who then ended up working for either Base or Farcaster. That's another thing that's happened a lot. They just were building their own thing and were able to sort of show their skills while doing that and then ended up working with a whole bunch of... I mean, that's happened. There's tons of those stories that aren't necessarily connected to us, but yeah.
Yeah, or met your co-founder.
Yeah.
We used to say a lot, FC is the new YC, like a incubator. You meet a founder, you build a company.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. A lot of that. Yeah, it's not just like another social media. It's a whole different thing. Yeah. And I think that's not apparent when you first look at it.
I think another thing that's interesting, you know, in terms of like building media on Farcaster as on-chain first, and this is not necessarily specific to on-chain, but just the concept of more kind of open source and permissionless building, which I guess is related. But we started to do a podcast about Farcaster. Like we're doing a live stream news show about Farcaster. We never asked for permission from the people building Farcaster whether we could. And because it's the values in the crypto space is permissionless and it's just start contributing. And so we just did it. No one asked us to. I still don't know if they
Happy we're doing it. We don't know. No, but Dan's been on a number of times. I think they're good.
Dan's super supportive, but we didn't ask. We just did it. So we're able to, and we could use the name Farcaster because that's our show.
Yeah.
We're glad we didn't do GM Warpcast.
Yeah, very good.
Because that changed. But the other thing is that all of our content is licensed under CC0, CC BY.
But yeah.
which is a, but the Creative Commons license. And I think the buy means with attribution.
Yeah.
So our content is open for people to use, yep. remix, edit. Like we don't, the IP is in the open. So I think that also like we're kind of like leaning into crypto values as much as we can with the way. And I don't think you'd see that on traditional, like if you have a, like no. if Facebook was starting yeah. today, for you to start a GM Facebook show, like, you could do it for a little bit until you get big. And then what's going to happen? Do you get sued for using the Facebook name? Like, you don't own that yeah. IP. We're like, we can't get sued for using the Farcaster name. And if you're building a media company, like, do you, you want to own, like, people tend to kind of like are very protective over content. And we are.
And copyright. Yeah, internet. Very like, much so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we kind of decided to go it. Yeah, a different way to try and proliferate. And I think that that's my shift also to a much more abundance mindset. And Nouns had a big impact on that, like of being in that space with CC0 art definitely got me looking at that aspect differently. So yeah, we want people to clip and share and react and do whatever, like with our content. Like we love that.
Meme it.
On one side, especially if you see it, like when it comes to media and like having that open permissionless IP, even though on-chain media has like incomparably lower distribution compared to a traditional media, like really tapping into that and somehow even incentivizing the fact of sharing could yeah. help the entire ecosystem grow a lot faster and a lot, I would say a lot more sustainably as well, because it's like ecosystem growth. It's not funded by whatever traditional media is usually funded with.
Right. Yeah. And we do have sponsors that have sponsored us over the past couple of years. And but we've also earned grants from things like Purple, which is a DAO focused on Farcaster. And Octin has been one of our premier partners and different partners that we've had over time. But also we have people, you know, buying the NFT, minting the NFT to support. We have a hyper sub, which is like an on-chain Patreon. So that's the other thing. Like we're not doing Patreon, we're using on-chain tools. And that allows us to send them benefits, you know, or send them things when, you know, different, because we know who they are because they hold our token. So that creates a different type of approach and we can, you know, create token gated events and things for them, like a group chat or channels or events. So there's, you know, a lot of different pieces of the puzzle. And then there's also like a tipping insanity on Farcaster that you don't see anywhere else. So there's a whole bunch of different ways to do this, but it's still, you know, doing media is still hard. It's still hard. You're competing for attention and there's a lot, like every other person has a freaking podcast. So, you know, there's a lot to compete with. But we kind of just stay in our lane and try not to focus too much on what other people are doing. And it's good to know because sometimes you have they have an idea that you haven't thought of that might be useful, but not trying to like get too much in our heads about, you know, competing, if you will. So and just be ourselves and do our thing.
I'm really curious on that point, especially as I would say like this past few months, even this past year, like a lot of newer podcasts, crypto podcasts specifically, or creators or influencers have showed up that don't necessarily want to go the traditional speculation token route. I would love to hear your thoughts on monetization as a creator in the first place, especially as on-chain on one side, at least this is my perspective and has been for a while, is giving us the tools to monetize, is giving us the tools to do all sorts of things that were I haven't even personally thought of earlier were possible. And now we can do them. But on the other side, it's a lot of tools to actually go around and implement and use and actually use to monetize, regardless if it's media or short videos or podcast, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Would love to hear your thoughts on the monetization aspect and really the parallels between traditional and on-chain monetization, especially for content creators.
I think that the big thing to, I guess, note right now is, yes, there's a lot of different ways that you can monetize. But in terms of like supporting it at a full-time level, to be able to do it like as your job, you're still going to need big sponsors. Advertising is still king. Like it just is. But yes, you now have Zora where you could put content on there or on And we've always done that with NFTs, but this is different with coins, with content creator coins. You've got Zora as an option, which you can also, if you're in the Base App beta, you can actually just upload there and flick a little switch, or just don't turn off the switch and it will become a coin. So that's one option. You have Clanker, you have Retake, which is a streaming platform, which we are just going to start experimenting with soon. We haven't put the show on there just for a couple of reasons that we were just not quite ready and wanted it to sort of figure itself out for a little bit. And that on there, you can, it launches a coin for you. People can buy that coin to support you, or you can tip them in that token to like say thank you for being here. So there's a lot of that sort of back and forth. But I think where we're at right now, it's still very much grants and sponsorship. We haven't, I think, gotten to the point where you could sustain a creator journey with just on-chain tools yet. But I think there's possibility down there, down the line. What do you think, Adrian? I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I just think if you compare content, people, like the expectation is content is free. There's like an infinite right. amount of content I can find out there for free. So just by saying, oh, if I'm going to shift my content from traditional media to Web3 and then I'm going to make money, that's just not true. Like as an audience watcher, the thing that's holding me back from paying the people I'm watching is not lack of tooling. It's right. just, like if it's just that's how media is. It's free yeah. information. But there's also a million tools to use and you can. So I think the way you monetize is not that different than traditional media. Like the way you monetize media is not that different. However, there's to do direct monetization, it's a lot easier because of certain tooling. You're familiar with the 1,000 True Fans? Concept.
I haven't heard of that, actually.
Okay. So the idea of 1,000 True Fans is in the world of the internet where you can go direct, that any individual creator or founder, like if you focus, you don't need 10,000, you don't need 100,000, you don't need a million of, you know, but you get the 1,000 people who are willing to kind of give you $100 a year that you can, and, you know, and then you can kind of earn a living as a solo.
There's two
creator.
Of us, so we need 2,000, but yeah.
We need 2,000 true fans.
True fans.
And that's kind of the concept. I think this essay was written probably yeah. 15 years ago, but people are always kind of talking of like, you don't need to be this massive influencer with millions of, right. Of views to monetize. You do if you're going through traditional platforms, because right. if you're looking to the kind of the Meta, Instagram, TikTok, those platforms, they're really only paying the top, you know, 1% of creators or 0.1%. And most people are not getting paid. So as soon as you move to these platforms where you have like Farcaster, everyone has a crypto wallet. Every single person who joins Farcaster has a wallet. So I don't need to be the most popular creator on Farcaster. I just need to find my 50 fans, you know, that are going to tip me a dollar. Now I can take myself out to dinner tonight. Great.
Yeah. Finding the niche. I think that's the big thing in terms of on-chain media versus traditional media is that it is incredibly hard to monetize directly on those platforms. Like, yes, you can find sponsors and things like that, but to get paid by YouTube, by Facebook, by Twitter, you have to hit certain metrics that are not that easy to hit. Whereas if you're brand new and you want to try something out, you can jump on and use some of the on-chain tools and start to see monetization like immediately. In a lot of different ways. The other thing, and we don't really talk about this, but on Farcaster, you also can earn weekly rewards. And we both have, sure. you know, forever been able to monetize that way as well. Again, these things are small, unless you're Bert Wurst, who's a dog and he's at the top of the list all the time. Hey, Bert, we love you. But also, Bert just got on, what, like 6 months ago?
Yeah.
Something like that? And is probably earned more than both of us combined in rewards because they're putting good content out there. And that content, because it's built on Farcaster, which is built on top of Optimism and has that on-chain component, they're able to earn and they're able to earn in a very sort of seamless way.
One thing there that I personally have been, especially with the recent developments with Base pushing creators, I kept on thinking this past, especially few months, that there is absolutely some kind of synergies to be found between creators and builders. But the space yep. still seems that we're not there yet.
Say that. I would say, I think you're going in the right direction. I think if you're talking about builders in terms of developers or building like an app or something like that, there is, it's more highly valued, I think, than creators per se. So I think there's more paths to monetization if you're building a mini app than if you're doing a podcast. VCs are not knocking down our door is what I'm trying to get to. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because we had this conversation, I don't know, a year and a half ago, where we actually met with a couple, we talked with Dan and a couple other people about like, hey, should we be seeking investors? Like, does that make any sense for what we're building? And my gut was no, but I didn't want to close any doors just in case. And my gut was right because that is hard. Like, that's really hard because of everything we just talked about. It's a flooded market. There's so much content. It's really hard to capture attention. But we are revenue positive. We were revenue positive within a month, whereas there's a lot of people building stuff that aren't revenue positive ever. So there's that too. And that was because, you know, we don't have that investor like pressure hanging over our heads too. So some of it's a good thing. So when you say builders, like I consider a lot of the creators who are creating on chain, I would say almost all of them are builders in their own right because they're using the tools. They're often building a mini app. And we'll talk about that with what Adrian built. But also I see that, you know, multiple people doing that. So it's not just us and playing with different tools. So they have some tech, you know, savviness to them as well. It's not just a pretty face, you know what I mean? Like where you might think about some creators as being just using tools. The creators that are creating on chain are also building tools. So to me, most of the creators are actually builders as well. And I've seen that happen over and over again. So I don't know. Adrian, what do you think? Is that accurate, do you feel?
Yeah, nothing to add.
No notes, 10-10, no notes.
Yeah.
I'd love, honestly, on that point, because I know Adrian has shared some things that, I mean, you're building a media company, but you're also building some mini apps and playing with AI, of course. But we'd love to hear what have been some of the experiments you've been doing there for GM Farcaster and maybe some of the things that you're thinking about experimenting with or that you're doing right now.
Oh, the roadmap is very long. Of things I want to build. How much time do you have?
We need a Farcaster like startup studio.
It's so funny. So she's doing all the tech side and me over here, I'm like, how many game shows can I build? Like, that's what I'm doing. Like, because we've worked with Matthew Fox to do trivia. I've done poker. We've talked about a couple other shows. Like,
we're doing a Survivor show.
Like, oh, we have Cast Out, which is like a Survivor inspired show. So I'm like over here doing all these crazy things. And she's like so happy in her tech. She's so happy in her dev mode.
I am really enjoying it. But that's actually going into like the new media thing.
Yeah.
Is people want to play games. Like, what's the difference? Like, it, you know, we do a new show, right? But everything's entertainment these days.
Yeah.
Everything is entertainment. Yeah. And
you do a new show. I feel like that needs to be in quotes.
Disclaimer. Chris, please put a disclaimer on your show notes.
I don't want anybody coming in thinking we're doing a hard-hitting, you know, Mike Wallace-style interviews or anything, because no. Because no.
Well, it's a morning news show,
yes.
Right? So we...
Keep
bring morning vibes.
I mean, morning poker would go hard. Morning poker.
True. We did move this the afternoon. We probably should move that to the morning. You're right.
But I do love, I mean, this is Prof's natural and she's really good at it, kind of creating all these other, like, they're kind of experiences, but they're not. Are they virtual? Are they synchronous, asynchronous? Like, it's a mix of everything. So she's run this competition called Cast Out. It's a Survivor style elimination game. It's played over 2 weeks with six different tribes and, you know, there's daily competitions and then there's a daily stream where you announce the winner every day and people are playing, but one, they're using all the tools on Farcaster. They're using different mini apps. So we used to joke, it's a great way to stress, if you're a developer or founder, it's a great way to stress test
We've
your app.
We've broken a lot like of things.
Yeah. Load test it.
So many things.
So it's like people are playing, it's playing out in the feed, we're doing stream, like, I don't even know what to call it. It's just, but it's, yeah. it's just like, okay, so kind of doing a lot of that from a new media perspective, I think is really interesting. On the tech side, like Farcaster is a open social network that's programmable, which means just like in, like imagine having companies will give APIs, but the difference with Farcaster is these APIs are guaranteed to be there. Like they will not, you can't get rugged. They can't take them away. So you have a guarantee that if you build on top of Farcaster, you know, you can sustain it. So my arc, I saw so many people building on Farcaster and I really wanted to start building. And I'm like 15 years away from being a hands-on developer. So I was like, ah. And then AI came out and AI copilots. And I was like, oh, I can learn to code again. So about a year ago, the AI bots were the current meta on Farcaster. Everyone was building AI accounts and some of them were really good. So I'm particularly remembering. Yeah, yeah. Shout out Ethernet. Do you remember Ethernet, Chris?
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Ethernet was awesome.
Wasn't it?
Ethernet was a, like, just a personality, but it was a higher aligned Farcaster personality. So it felt like talking to a person, like an elevated, you knew it wasn't, but
a very intelligent person, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when it's on the feed, it's like, oh, then everyone can see it. So it's kind of, you're having these public conversations. Everyone was talking about Ethernet. Who were the other bots? There were a bunch of other bots at the same time.
Yeah, there was a few other ones, but then there's some that have stuck around that have been developing, like Ask Gina is still active. And then came something like Bracky, which is a whole other. And then Clanker. Actually, Clanker came not long after Ethernet. Clanker launched not
Clanker
long after Ethernet.
Clanker was one of the first ones.
Yeah.
Clanker was like a token tag the bot So I found that really interesting, just the intersection of social network and AI. And I was like, I want to build one for GM Farcaster. And the idea is over the years, I think a lot of people have given us credit for documenting Farcaster history. Like we have a YouTube library where we've like talked about Farcaster forever. So like new people come all the time and they want to know.
You also have, sorry to interrupt you, you also have like Farcaster 101 series, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Which is completely out of date right now because it was like about a year ago, right? I think. Yeah,
we filmed it almost a year ago. And it is, I want to refer to it, but I'm like, we're talking about things that don't exist anymore. So
there's some stuff like in there that's still really valid and good. But a lot of it, like either the terminology has changed or things have developed, like frames became mini apps and that became a whole different thing. And so like there's all these pieces, but but that's how it started was the bot started with FC 101. So I'll let you take it from there. Yeah.
But the idea is we have all this content, but it's not super interactive. It's an archive. It's video content. You can't search it. Like if you want to search through your library, and Chris, we've talked about this, like you have a library of shows, right? Like if you want to search through, like how do you find when you talked about, you know, X, Y, or Z? Like, how do you find it? You can't search video that way. Oh, yeah. So I built a bot that is like that created transcripts for all of our shows, made it in a way that created embeddings for it so AI could kind of interact with it. And you can tag a bot, ask it any question about our show, and it'll go and search through transcripts to try to answer it.
Like you could tag it now and ask, when did we talk about OP or optimism? Like, when did we talk about whatever, grants, things like that? And it will usually tell you.
Yeah, it's, I have to refactor it now that some of the way you build bots have changed over the years. I have a better way to do it. But I can almost call it like a librarian for the show. Like, we've got this archive, you can ask it questions, tag it in the feed. And that was super fun to build because it's also like, it's a character on Farcaster now.
Yeah. No, it's its own little personality. And then the mini app came after that. And then the lore one too. We have the lore app where if you want to see when we've tagged you, and I'm not sure if we've tagged you. We might have. If we've ever talked about you on the show, we will if we haven't yet. You can search your username and see if you've ever been mentioned in, because we had all this other thing, like I knew we were developing this, but I'm like, I don't know how we're going to use it. Was that we do show notes every show. And like most of the time, nobody's looking at that. And they take a lot of time, but they have the links to everything we talked about on the show. And it's like, this is great data. I just don't know what to do with it. And Adrian created this lore mini app, which you can look by user. So if you want to see every cast that we pulled up from Dan, from DWR, you can search that and it'll show you all of that. Or you can search yourself, or you can look at a leaderboard to see who do we talk about the most. And you can guess who's on top of the leaderboard. But it's, you know, it's a really interesting way to kind of dive into that data and be able to kind of learn more. And also the bot will pick up a lot of that, but sometimes it won't necessarily point you to the cast. It'll point you to the episode. So this is another way to find, you know, just go back in time or find something or, you know, learn more about whatever it is we were talking about.
It's really customized experience of a GM Farcaster. If you're interested about a particular thing, you can just search it up.
Yeah.
And you go to that exact point.
Yeah, exactly. And then the mini app was next. So after the bot. So talk about building that, because that was a whole other thing.
Well, I think when you think about mini app development, there's like two core benefits mini apps give you. So one is you can get distribution, so you can get people to come watch you, and it's without leaving the feed. So for people to watch GM Farcaster live, they've got to go to YouTube. It used to be on Lonely, but they've got to go to YouTube or Twitter because Farcaster doesn't have native live streaming.
That would be a mini app for someone to build.
Oh, it exists now.
There's several of them, yeah, but
it didn't at the time.
I saw some.
But it has
launched.
To be popular.
Also,
okay,
I was going to say also for audio, but I don't know if they're active or not.
There's been a couple audio ones that were Spaces, and there was a new one that Seed Club had that was really good, but they decided not to launch it yet. They did a test run of it, and it was pretty good, but it just hasn't taken off. It's really, the problem is notifications, and that's what one of the issues that the mini app solves is that it can notify, but for a long time, it couldn't do that. So you could launch something, and unless somebody saw it in the feed, they weren't going to know. But the notification part of mini apps has changed everything, I think. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been, like one of the biggest benefits of the GM Farcaster mini app.
That was the second thing I was saying, right? So it's like you can get people to open an app without leaving your feed. They're more likely to, but you can notify them directly. So you can do kind of in-app push notifications for people who have added your app. So you can immediately, you know, it's like you can get their attention. So when we go live, if you have our app, you get a push notification that reminds you when we're live. Because people are busy and they forget our schedule and we change it all the time. So
we forget to let them know that we're actually streaming today. Yeah. Things
so,
like that.
So they get a notification in their Farcaster. Hey, we're live. They click on a button. They open up the mini app and boom, it's embedded there. You can watch right there. When we launched it, I think we saw almost like, I don't know, like a 40% increase in the number of people who are watching live in the mini app. And then I guess the other thing mini apps also get you is the ability to kind of do the sharing, like the social virality of it. So you can add in buttons that people can then cast that they're watching GM Farcaster. They can tell they're following, and hopefully, you know, that gets more and more people to your app.
And that was like a big, the app also has, you can mint the episode via pods.
That's
like,
awesome.
So it'll link you over to pods to mint the episode, which is pretty cool too.
And because it's Web3, Web3 composability, you don't have to get kicked over to the pod's website to mint. Right. There's a button, you just call the contract directly and can mint from our mini app. And because everyone has a Warplet attached, you don't have to do the whole two-step connect your wallet, mint. It's one click and mint.
That's awesome. But even like from a podcast perspective, from a media perspective, but also for builders and sharing progress or going live, even like considering these things like could help a lot of builders out there on Farcaster.
Yeah.
Which was also previously what I was, now the thought is a bit more clear, is like those intersection of builders and creators. Especially because as creators, you and us as well, we're focusing a lot more on the attention side.
Mm-hmm.
And builders are focusing on different things, depending on what they're building, of course. But every person has some valuable insights that if the synergies are found, everyone could benefit probably not twice as much, but 10 times, 100 times, it could be more beneficial for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that if you're, you know, what we're obviously built something that was like custom for us, but anyone could use the same kind of tools would be helpful to creators, because we're trying to also pull in the YouTube feed into a mini app because we didn't want to split up the community was the big reason, because So we can have people chatting and sending us comments from Twitter or YouTube or anything else we're streaming to. We'll see it, but they won't see each other. So we were trying to push them, like, if you're going to chat, go into this community so you get to know each other, and we continue to build that part of it. So that was the other thing. But creating the different tools, so you've got the attention part of it, of like, let other people know you're watching, being able to notify them, drive them to where you want them to be. I think one of the things that Twitter did well, and this is why I think audio spaces haven't taken off as much on Barcaster, has been that notification and that discovery, where you have that little bar at the top and you can just kind of go, oh, so-and-so's on right now. Let me go just pop in. And we see that happen for us all the time too, because we're streaming over there as well. So I think that's one piece that hasn't quite unlocked yet over on Farcaster that actually does pretty well, is that discovery part of it. So I think that's something else that creators struggle with if you're doing something live, for sure. But even just driving attention to what you're creating, is we need all the tools we can get, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And really the getting all the tools to work together in the right. In the first place. But Adrien Naunschroff, thank you for sharing all these insights and your journey with Jim Farcaster. Is there anything else that maybe I should have asked you or you'd like to touch on that we haven't touched on so far?
Did you cover all of your stuff like you've been building? I feel like we're missing things because you've been like kicking out, Adrien, a whole bunch of stuff that you've built, like the mini app with all the notifications and everything. Oh, it's shorts. There's shorts in there that people can share. So that's another distribution piece within Farcaster. Yeah. Or Base, the Base app as well. If you're over on the Base app. Yeah, it works on both. So anything else that you built that I may have forgotten? Because you've been going crazy over there.
I built a little admin dashboard this week for you and I to both manage the mini app and trying to make that easier. No, and we covered everything I've already built. And I think just there's so many podcasts out there, right? So it's like, and we've been doing our GM Farcaster. I think I like the idea of trying to lean into what makes Farcaster, keep leaning into what makes Farcaster unique as we continue to kind of build out GM Farcaster, which is the tech side, which is, you know, being able to build mini apps and connect that way. And then I love the different, like the programming and all the games and kind of the poker games and the cast out and we're going to do a founder newlywed game. And as well as the URL to IRL connection and kind of just keep pushing community. And we hang out on this digital space, but I think people crave like genuine connection. And people want to be more like actively engaged in the content that they're watching. Like it's not as passive anymore. So it's like, that's why we like the live stream, so we can kind of like get people engaged in watching. So it's fun. It's a fun space to be building in, I think.
I think that makes what makes it special too, is that when you're building that, I think the things that pop off the best is when you are building that community and they are getting to know each other, not just you, but like growing some true connections there. And I think we've seen that with even with Casto, with all the different things we've done, people getting to play a game together. And you saw that with Crypto the Game too. You get to, you know, you play a game together and then you get to know each other. And then those connections become, you know, actually real and can even move to the IRL space. So I love that. I think that's what makes it special. For sure. It's a little bit of magic there.
Actually, that's an interesting point that you bring that up, because even like everywhere that I've seen Farcaster being talked about, I mean, everywhere else except GM Farcaster, it's not that emphasized the fact of how different the vibe is and like the meeting of people and like making those connections, which on one side, it's absolutely harder to market on that as a platform. But on the other side is what makes everything so unique.
It's what makes it special, but it is really hard.
Do you want to make internet friends? No.
It's like, no.
No, I do not.
That was
not. Why would I want
that? I know. Like, that never... Oh, you know what I'm going to do in my phase? I'm going to meet new people on the internet, and that's going to work out well, and I'm going to change my whole entire life because of it. Was not on my bingo card at all. Like, no. It's very hard to explain the value of that until you've experienced it. But there's like just some really freaking cool people. Like they're building really freaking cool things. And they're all over the world too. It's not like, you know, they're just in the US. So it's been probably the most special thing that is, I think, the hardest thing to communicate and really share with people for sure. And it's also, you know, and if you're thinking, oh, well, that was probably true when it was, you know, 938 of you, but it's not true anymore. It's absolutely still true. It's still true. I see new people coming on who they bring themselves, they share themselves, and they find people who connect with what it is they're sharing. And I'm thinking of Patricia X. Lee, for example, or like we talked about Bert Wurst, who's only been on for like 6 months. So you can still do that now, for sure. No question. And I've seen it on the Base app, too, with people who are, that's been their introduction to Farcaster. So Farcaster is the social protocol that's underlying the Base app. So the social feed on the Base app is the same as Farcaster's social feed, but you'll see different people over there and people who are leaning in there, and they've just found that and they're starting to sort of pop off and connect with people. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's awesome. But that's the thing. Like once you experience that, you're not leaving. You're staying on Farcaster.
That's a great point. I mean, there's some serious stickiness. If you find your tribe, there's some serious stickiness to it. There really is. Like you're not going anywhere. Even when people, you know how many people have said they were leaving and never coming back, and then they came back like 5 days later? Like, that happens so much. People leave crypto Twitter all the time. You never see them again. They are gone. It happens all the time with Farcaster where people get mad about something and they storm off, and it's like, it's funny. And then they come back like a week later. They're like, I missed you guys. I'm sorry.
It's also a pretty forgiving culture.
Very. Sometimes too so.
Some people should be canceled and haven't, but
we're a little too forgiving. Yeah, absolutely.
Full free speech on chat.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot of libertarians floating around in the crypto space. So we give a lot of second chances. Yeah, for sure.
Adrian Nanishprof, it was an absolute pleasure having you here today.
Thanks so much for having us, Chris. This has been fun. It's fun to be on the other side. We don't do that very often. So it's been fun.